speaking to you on the subject of Noah, the godly father. We'll begin reading there in Genesis chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 14 to start with. Then we'll go to chapter 7 and read verse 1, and then verses 4 through 24. We have quite a bit of scripture reading. We'll not read it all, and that's for the sake of time. But beginning in Genesis chapter 6, reading verses 5 through 14. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now we go over to chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now we drop down to verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I'll cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 140 days. Let's pray. Holy Father, ask you to add your blessings to the word today. May it accomplish your will and purpose in all of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right. Excuse me. The title of my message again is Noah, the Godly Father. First of all, this morning I want you to notice that Noah was a man of God. That's what our scriptures teach us. We'll not refer to the particular verses for the sake of time. But Noah was a man of God. He was right with God. He was a righteous man. The Bible said he was a just man. We would call Noah today, in our terminology, a saved man. Now, you know, every father needs to be right with God. Every father needs to be a just man. Every father needs to be a child of God. And every father needs a heavenly father, God the Father. And Noah had that. This morning, I've said this before, I believe this, and I don't see how anyone could argue with this, though there might be some that would be foolish enough. No father can be the father that he ought to be when he does not have a heavenly father, God the Father. No man can be the father that he ought to be unless he is right with God. No man can be the father that he ought to be unless he's saved. Now that you can't meet the qualifications for a father as laid out by God Almighty, who knows what He wants a father to be and what a father should be, you can't be what God wants you to be unless you're, first of all, right with God, unless you're saved. And so this morning, I challenge those fathers that are here, those fathers that will hear this message various ways. If you're not right with God today, you're not the father that you need to be, you ought to be, you should be, and God wants you to be. And so you need to get right with God, which, in other words, you need to be saved. That's the first thing I'd like to point out this morning. And I'm thankful to God for saving my soul, and that all during the time I was raising my children, I was a Christian and living for the Lord in His service. God saved me. I had a heavenly Father, and I appreciate that so much. I'm thankful to God for that grace and that mercy that He showed me at an early age, and the Lord has blessed me because of it, and blessed my children. My children will never know what it means to be raised up in a home where the father is not saved and right with God. They can't even begin to understand through personal experience what that is. They see it in other homes. They may themselves, some of them, be in homes where it's not even, their homes may not be that way today. But they are experiencing something in their marriages that they did not have to experience in the marriage of their mother and myself, giving the glory and honor to God. Now, the second thing I want to point out to you that we get from this scripture today is that God spoke to Noah. Now, He spoke to him audibly. The Bible, of course, wasn't completed. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. This happened later. But the Word of God was available to Noah. Noah received it from God audibly. It's still the Word of God. It's as much the Word of God as what we have today. The Word of God today is available to fathers, just like it was available to Noah. In fact, there's more of it available to fathers today than there was to Noah. And fathers certainly need to be acquainted with the Bible. Fathers need the Bible. Now, in the Bible is a male-oriented book. It definitely is a masculine-oriented book. There's no question about it. Let the world jump up and down. Let them bite their fingernails. Let them throw their fits. Let them foam at the mouth and say what they want to. I am only saying what God has put in His Word. I'll not apologize for God. I don't need to apologize for God. He doesn't have to play favorites, nor does He have to tremble at little man, for He is God and there's none other, and He'll take care of the situation. So the Bible is a masculine-oriented book. And certainly today, dear people, if fathers are to find out what they're supposed to be, they have to go to the Bible. You can't look around you today, especially today in which there are very few good examples for young boys today, and even young girls, to know what a godly father is. A real father, as the Lord requires them to be. Because they are few and far between. So many fathers today pattern themselves after the world. Don't go to the Bible. Even I'm talking about Christians now, the lost. I understand why they act like that. But so many fathers that profess to be Christians know so little about the Bible And as I've said once before, and I'll repeat it, in most homes, the mother is head and shoulders above the father, and the father is in pitiful shape before God. And I would remind all men that you'll answer to God for that situation in your home. That situation is not the way God wants it. I have nothing to do with it but tell you what God said. God is not pleased, fathers, with your wife being more oriented toward the Bible and more knowledgeable of the Bible than you are, because you're the leader. And God makes that plain also. So, godly fathers need to look at Noah and the lesson that God gives us in his life. We need the Word of God to direct us. We need the Word of God to tell us what we ought to be, how we ought to conduct ourselves, what our position is, the responsibilities that brings with it. I have never seen such an age of irresponsible men in my life as we have today. It is a shame and it is a disgrace. Dear people, this morning, we need the Bible. And when I say the Bible, I'm talking about the Holy Bible, H-O-L-Y. I'm talking about the King James Bible. I always mean that when I say Bible, unless I specify it otherwise. There are these H-O-L-E-Y Bibles. I don't apologize for calling them that. Never will. They're shameful. They put me in the mind of these little rings that you go by these little vending machines and drop a quarter in and you get a little ring out, you know. My wife and I were on vacation and we're going through this place and man, they had beautiful rings up there for $16.95. I said, where were these people when I was getting ready to get married? Man, I'd have got a bargain here. I figure if those folks had been around when I was getting married, I could have got that for $5.95, because, you know, things were cheaper back in those days. But that's what those Bibles, new Bibles, put me in the mind of. Those little cheap rings that my girls used to get them. My girls used to drop some money in the machine, get them out, put them on the finger, and in a few days it'd be a little green ring around the finger. That means that's genuine. What is it? Copper? Brass? I don't know what it is. Tin? Whatever it is. But to have a little green, bluish green ring around the finger. I'm glad that Rita has got, you know, to the place to where she doesn't have to drop that money in those little machines and wear those rings anymore. I don't want to be giving Mike any suggestions about what to do for her next birthday, but it won't work with them. But anyhow, every godly father needs to be acquainted with the Bible. I tell you, dear people, I fell short in many ways when I was raising my children. But I don't know what I would have done had it not been for the Word of God. I certainly don't know what I would have done. I needed someone to look up to, someone that knew better than I did what I needed to be and what I needed to do and how I needed to conduct myself. And dear people, this morning, every father does. God have mercy upon the father who thinks that they are sufficient for the job just as they are. By the time you get ready to die, you'll be wise enough to really have been a better father, but you don't get to be one. You see, it takes you all your lifetime to accumulate a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and then when you're too old, you know it all. Well, my oldest daughter sent me a Father's Day card, and she said on the front, I'm now giving to my children what you used to give to me. A lot of advice, but they'll do just like I did. They won't take it. And now she's grown a lot. She's smarter than she was when I was raising her. She's understood. She understands that now, you see. She knows the frustration of trying to give advice to her children and them thinking they're smarter than she was. I raised some very intelligent children. They were smarter when they were teenagers than I was, and I was a grown-up. They were smarter. And I know that you girls are. I know there's no question in your mind that Joey is smarter than his mom and daddy. And it's later on in life when you start getting dumber. After you get grown, get your own families, that's when you start getting dumber. But boy, when you're being raised up, you're so smart. But after that, you start getting dumber. It's like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you probably never ran into that question head on when you were young. You always figured you knew what to do. Isn't that something? You get dumber, and your parents get smarter as you get older, in most cases. Now, so, we need the Word of God. Why, God has it. It's the Bible. It's more than Noah had. All fathers need to do is pay attention to it. every father ought to make, and God expects this, and I'm speaking, of course, this morning of Christian fathers, a place in their life to take time out for God to speak to them. And, of course, they need to speak to God, which is prayer. This is definitely something that every father ought to figure into their day. But isn't it sad that most fathers, and this is Christians, do more praying after their children are grown and more reading of the Bible than when they're raising their children up? And this is sad. Because you know why? Many times, not always, but many times, it's because they didn't do it while they were raising the children up. Not always so, for God said, I brought up children and they rebelled against me. But in many cases, that's what happens. So, he had the Word of God. Not only that, but Noah listened to, believed, and obeyed God's Word. If you'll notice in there, it says he did what God told him to do. Now, dear people today, it's good to have a Bible, but unless you pay attention to it, you might as well not have it. Now, I told my wife, we were on vacation, we were driving down this road, we were following this little global position and device that we had, and it told us, you know, where to go. And so I came to this road, and it didn't tell me to turn. Well, I said, well, that's the way we go, right this way. And the sad thing about it is, it's the same turn I messed up 2 years ago. I didn't even have this thing. But I was so sure, and my wife and that thing both let me down. And I just ran up this way, and then it started talking. Go up here, take a left. Hard right, come on back out, hit the road. I said, well, it knows what it's talking about. Next time I'll listen to it. But Brother Charles, I didn't. There were times I couldn't, because in some places they'd change the roads, I'd tell someone, and it was just, it got confused too. And it said, go hunt the nearest road, and I was on it. And I knew where I was going, so what I have to do is download correct information to get it all straightened out. But they're working on these roads, so it's never going to get straightened out until they get through fixing it. But it was good where it worked. But you see, I learned that that thing, basically where they hadn't made some changes, knew what it's talking about. Even though I felt like I needed to turn. But I wasn't supposed to, and it didn't tell me to. And that's why, dear people, it reminds me why we need God. Because there's so many times when we think, and I'm going to tell you straight, we think we're smarter than God. We're willing to go along with God as long as God looks like he's making sense. But if what God says is contrary to what we think, we'll say, no, thank you, God, I'll just do this because you don't understand. My way will work. And all you do is add to the confusion and add problems to existing problems. You do not understand that God knows best. I do not understand that. We give mouth service to that. We give lip service to that. But in our lives, oftentimes, we are in conflict with God because we say, that will not work, and I know it will not work. And so we go ahead and do what we want to. And then later we say, my goodness, I not only have the original problem, but now I have another problem or problems to go with it. And sometimes those things run underground and they pop up later. You see? They pop up later. It's sad. We need to do what Noah did, fathers. We need to have a Bible. We need to read that Bible. We need to believe that Bible. And we need to obey God's Word. That's the only infallible guide you have. Your wife is not. But I know men will follow their wives quicker than they follow God. That's right. Well, they say God doesn't give him as much trouble as a wife does. Well, he will. And you will have. That's right. Now, let's go on down. Next thing we see in these today is Noah gave godly leadership and provision to his wife. He gave godly leadership and provision for his wife. Now, if I was a woman, I think, and of course, this is just from an outsider, I'd be very careful about what kind of a man I married. if I intended being the kind of wife God said. Now, some women don't intend. It doesn't make any difference. They intend to fight. They fight before they get married, and they fight all the way through the marriage because they're going to do it their way regardless of what the Bible says. But if you are a Christian woman and who wants to obey the Lord, you would want to pick your husband carefully because he's the head of that home. And you're going to have to follow his leadership many times, whether you like it or not. You have to follow his leadership. And because his leadership is, he's going to be trying to lead, but he might not, dear people, be able to lead because he can't lead if you don't follow. This is what happens many times, dear people. We don't have the husbands giving the godly leadership for the wife. When old Noah said to Miss Noah, God told me this. He was given godly leadership. He had to do what God said. And he could tell his wife what God said. So that was giving godly leadership to her. Now, dear people, today we can't lead our wives in a godly way if we don't know ourselves what God has said to us. Now, I mean it like this. I'm dead serious. That you ought to be able to take your Bible, if your wife says, I don't know whether we should do this or not, if it's the right kind of leadership, you take your Bible and prove to her that you're giving her biblical leadership to the best of your knowledge and understanding. And if you don't, then you need to stop until you can do it. This doesn't happen very much, does it? Husbands like to say this is their favorite trick. Here's their authority. I'm head of this home. Sure. And I was driving that automobile that made that wrong turn the other day. And guess what my wife did when I made that wrong turn? She made it with me. She is in the passenger side. There's a strange thing about it, folks. You're in the driver's seat, men, and your wife is going to go through what you go through with. It's not a matter of just you. It's a matter of you. And then, of course, if you're raising children, it's them too. So you've got a lot to answer for. Man's driving a car, turns it over with his wife and children in it. They're all in the wreck. It's a very serious thing to be a father. It's a very serious thing to be a husband. And we need to be able to give godly leadership to our family because that's what God intends. That every family have the firm, godly leadership of a man. The woman is happier. Now, she may not think she is because she listens to enough television, reads enough magazines, she's brainwashed, and she thinks happiness is doing her thing. It's not. Women, I'll tell you what makes most women so miserable today and so unhappy is because they are out of the position that God created them for, and they fit that just right, but they don't like that one. Since the fall, they want the one that Adam's got. You see? Well, I want you women to understand this morning. In your heart is a spirit of rebellion since the fall, and you became a sinner, and that spirit of rebellion is to rebel. Against God, really. But between you and God is the husband. And as a preacher, having gotten between God and a church, I know that the church doesn't mind just letting you have it a lot of times. Because they don't see God, they see you. The wife doesn't see God, she sees her husband. She feels perfectly free to give him a hard time. When every Christian wife ought to be able to take the Bible and show from the Bible that husband where she believes he's leading the family wrong. But the wife is too busy running her mouth. You can't see too well with your mouth wide open. Close it and get your eyes open and look at the Scripture. Every husband that's really a godly man will respect the Word of God. And you should be able to say, now, honey, here's why I believe your leadership in this matter is wrong. Now, I know all of you ladies do that, but I'm talking about those other ladies that are not here today. You take Sister Stephanie every time she corrects Rod. She takes the Bible and says, Rod, you can't do this because God says thus and thus and so. And Rod says, oh, God said that? Well, I won't do that then. Right? We are supposed to be followers of God. Just think of what had happened if Noah hadn't followed God. There were a lot of folks involved besides Noah. And as fathers, there's a lot of folks involved besides us. You wouldn't think so, would you? You wouldn't think so. In the heart of man, there's rebellion today. Man does not want to follow God, and mama, the woman, the wife, doesn't want to follow the man. We've got homes full of rebellion all the way from the father down to the little baby that's crawling on the floor. And they're chaotic. We may have a lot of things that our forefathers didn't have, but they had a lot of things we don't have, and the one thing they had was better homes. Didn't have perfect homes, but had better homes. A lot of the chaos and confusion that goes on in the average home today did not go on. Everybody's wanting to have their way, and nobody wants to consider God's way. Or rarely, or only when God's going your way. Isn't that something? It's true. That wasn't the truth. That wasn't the case with Noah. Noah gave leadership and provision, godly leadership and provision, to his wife. Now Mrs. Noah, in godly submission, followed her husband Noah, who was following God. You know, I mean, she could, with perfect confidence, follow her husband, leadership, and prepare for that time in the ark. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Now today, here's what would happen in the average home if Noah was around. First of all, he'd come in and say, God says we're to build an ark. Well, sir, are you sure? He didn't tell me. I'm going to ask the next door neighbor. Next day, I talked to her and she said it's foolishness. Never heard of such stuff. And I read the Woman's Life magazine. And the psychologist in there says, that's foolishness for me to just follow you blindly. Can you hear that today? I can. I can hear that today. I can see that today. I can see it. Follow everybody but God. And whenever a man is leading his family right, it is exactly as it was in the case of Mrs. Noah. Mrs. Noah, in following the leadership of her husband, who was following God, made Miss Noah follow the Lord, too. She could with confidence follow him. Said, well, I'm following my husband. He's a godly man. He was a just man. He's been a good husband, a good father. And he says, God has told him. I don't find anywhere where he told this to her. He made a mistake, didn't he? Bypassed the woman. No wonder the liberals don't like the Bible. God is so disrespectful to the average liber today. Listen, dear people. Mrs. Noah, in godly submission, followed Noah, who was following God. And I guarantee you, whenever it was raining outside and the floods and the fountains were breaking up, she was a happy woman and glad that she was wise enough to follow the leadership of a godly husband. The average woman today that professes the name of Christ would have been sitting in an ark saying, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I'd done this, I'd done it different from this. That over there is wrong, and that over there is wrong. And Noah could have said, well, God said, but I don't care. He doesn't know much about building. That's it. This is the rebellious attitude that permeates that class of people in the United States of America today that wear the name, that dare to wear the name, in some cases, Christian. Look, this is Noah and God of submission followed Noah, who's following God. I imagine that made him happy, don't you? Because he was going to have to follow God. He's going to have to follow God. You see? All right? Listen. Then Noah's sons. He had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. No daughters in that family at that time. Man alive, how do you have a home, all sons and no daughters? I had all daughters and no sons. Of course, that's kept me humble, right? I know what it is to have to wait on them. If you think your wife is bad when she's getting ready, multiply that. Get four of them. The powder going on. Perfume smelling, clashing. They don't all like the same kind of perfume, no way. Clashing, just going on. I enjoyed it, though. Some of the happiest days of my life. I look back and I say, well, that wasn't bad at all. When I was refereeing, sometimes I'd walk in, break up an argument, you know. Rita'd be stomping her feet. I'd have to stop her and tell her, you don't do that. That's not, we don't need any parading, you know. And we'd have the girls in an argument over who's going to sleep here and who's going to get that and who's going to get that. And that's all of that, you know. And it was all part of it, but it was good. It was good. Because, you know, anything worthwhile is trouble. It is. A fellow said, I saw a commercial the other day that said, well, this morning, advertising facilities for dogs. And this fellow says, my daddy said, there's no such thing as a free puppy. And he was talking about what it took to feed them and take care of them. He said, my daddy said, there's no such thing as a free puppy. Well, there's no such thing as free children, a free wife. I'm still paying notes on mine. And I know you are too. You pay always. But they're worth the trouble. They're worth the trouble. Now, dear people, his sons, Noah's sons, believed their father, a preacher of righteousness, and followed his godly leadership. Now, these were grown boys because they got married. But when Noah told them, they believed him. These fellows were not rebels at this time. They believed the preacher. They believed the preacher of righteousness, their father. They were wise. I said, Noah ought to have been proud of those old boys. I imagine he was. They sure acted differently from what Lot's sons-in-law's acted when he was down there, when he was down there in Sodom. And he went and told them, get out of here, they're going to destroy this place. And he did. They just laughed at him. That's the average child's attitude today toward godly parents. They followed the leadership. They believed their father. And in believing their father and following him, they actually were following God. Don't you see how this thing is working? A godly father, what a tremendous impact this godly man, Noah, had on the lives of his family with physical and spiritual leadership. What a blessing that is. Dear people, I'll tell you this morning, you can't beat God's way. The trail of time is littered with the bones of people who thought they had a better idea than God did. You ever thought that you're making the right turn and run into a dead-end street? I have. I've done that with an automobile, and I've done that in my life when I didn't consult the Bible or when I misinterpreted something that I thought God was saying. And I'll tell you, when the street dead ends, you have to stop whether you want to or not. It dead ends. It dead ends. And this morning, I'll say to you young people that are here, I'll say to you girls, if you can't find you a godly boy, godly young man, then don't get married. Because if you think it's bad to be single, you get you the wrong husband. And you'll find out there'll be many a time you'll wish you'd still single. You won't have to put up with him. It's terrible. It's awful. All men are not godly men. And you make sure that he's godly and didn't just jump in the church house and start going to church because he was wanting to get you. Because old boys are smart. Oh, boys are smart. Now, I'll tell you one thing right now, dear people. Today, young girls have to need to move slowly. They don't pay attention. I got young girls in this church. I know all the time. You know what I say all the time? They are going to make a complete mess out of their life and can't wait to do it. Maybe I'll have one or two that won't. But then, as a wise pastor, I watch the youth of this church And I see some of them as they've already started playing the same old game. You see, when you've been around as long as I have, you know the game. And they think, oh, we're snowing the pastor. Come on. You're not snowing me. I mean, Jane sits in church, and Jane sings Amazing Grace and with a halo over her head. And Jane dresses right, and Jane talks right, and Jane even criticizes Jill out there, who's on dope and running around sleeping with boys to her parents. And she acts like a little angel, but as soon as she gets out on her own, you can't tell Jane from Jill. I've seen that happen so many times. That's very sad. I said, why do young people have to be this way? And boys are the same way. I can take a van today and haul out of this city in a van, a 15-passenger van, all the young men, boys that are growing up, I'll say in their teenage years, that are consecrated, dedicated Christians and still have room for some to get in it. And girls the same way. All right, dear people. So Noah's son believed their father, a preacher of righteousness. They followed his godly leadership. You think they were sad about that later on? No, they weren't. I'll tell you, when you follow godly leadership, you don't have to be sorry. But you have to be sorry you didn't follow it. That happens so many times, dear people. And why is it that generation after generation after generation after generation do that? I know personally today, in my own family, people, and I'm talking about relatives who didn't have a godly father, who are now just living like he did. And they went through all of that. Young men who were raised up in a drinking home, you'd think they'd never want to see drink. And they go up and do the same thing. Young men who have a marriage, who are in a home where their marriage, their mom and dad split up. And they didn't have any family life. And they go out and they don't even get married. They just get them a woman and live with her. And then they have children. And they never think about those children and what it was with them. They never learn. They go out and they do the same thing to others that was done to them. And they remembered when they were going through it, they didn't like it. It was sad. It was terrible. They'll go out and do the same thing. Their dad ran around with other women on their mamas, and they go out and they do the same thing. I know, and you know today, in your own families, people that will not darken the door of a church who are, sin is bringing nothing but sorrow and heartache to them. And I know young men that have been raised up in that who can't wait and will do the same thing for what some unfortunate young girl that gets them one day. They'll do the same thing that was done to them. And yet they'll talk about the people that have done them that way. Now, dear people, Noah's sons' wives, his daughters-in-law. You know, if you get sons, you're probably going to get daughters-in-law. That's not bad. I don't have any daughters-in-law. Somehow the Lord didn't see fit to chastise. Somehow the Lord didn't see fit to bless me with daughters-in-law. I'm not like, you know, Brother Willie. I have never known that blessing. I know about sons-in-law. We won't even get into that. No telling where this message will go. I could say something there. It'd probably have some of my son-in-laws ready to hang me. And that's vice versa. The only thing keeps me from hanging some of my son-in-laws is it says, thou shalt not kill. They better be glad I follow the Lord. That's right. That's right. That's all right, Brother Greg. Someday you'll be glad that commandment's in the Bible, too. Unfortunately. Isn't that right? His sons' wives, his daughter-in-laws, submissively followed their husbands. Now, you get this, don't you? You see how this is? Noah is the old man. He starts out following the word of the Lord. He's a just man. He's right with God. And so they come on down. And now it's worked its way down to the daughter-in-law. You're talking about, listen, when they were in that ark, I'm sure that three girls were certain that they had married the right man. I'm sure that they are certain that they married. But we could get into that this morning. What do you think those young men and young women had to go through in that ungodly bunch? The Bible doesn't tell us, but the world's basically the same as far as people. Don't you imagine they sneered at them and said, "You married to that stupid thing down there of Noah's boy? You married to old Shem, they're building that ark down there. It's not going to... Why in the world did they get all that? Boy, you really got a Lulu there." You hear that, don't you? I can hear that. I sure can. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you're following the Bible, you're on the right track. You're in the right track. Don't listen to the rest of them. They'll find out soon enough who you can believe and who you can't. Now, dear people, they followed their husbands. All the blessings that are coming now. The influence that this godly man Noah, this father, is having on others. Now, the next thing, Noah and his entire family then ended up following God as they followed Noah, who was obeying God. All eight of them. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That's, to me, it's a beautiful picture. Whenever it came time to go into that ark, I see old Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives all going into the ark. That's a beautiful picture. Now, the world laughed at that. I'm sure the world laughed at that time, because sinners laugh at godly people obeying God, you see. And so, I'm sure that they laughed, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. They didn't laugh whenever the judgment of God fell. People in hell today are not laughing at Christian people. No, they're not. We're not foolish. If there's one place where they know that a man that was right with God and a woman was not a fool, it's in hell. That's not a debate. There's no debate going on down there. None whatsoever. Thus, all eight in obedience to God's word were saved from the awful judgment that came upon the earth through the flood. Isn't that something? Now, God put that in the Bible. And sometimes we just get locked up on the flood and we forget to look at the people involved. Now, I'm going to tell you, dear people, I can hear it now. In the modern day, when it comes to Noah's daughter-in-laws, I can hear them giving the sons a fit. "Are you always going to follow your daddy? Why don't you ever do things on your own?" And drown. If they had, they'd have drowned. They'd have drowned. Because Noah was giving them the leadership from God. You see? Look at the source of the leadership. If it's from the latest psychic's newspaper page, that's questionable. But from the Word of God? Some people are so ignorant until they'd rather do wrong than follow somebody that's right, because they just got to prove that they're a man or they're a woman. Even if they have to cut off their nose, as the old saying goes, to spite their face. I'd rather end up a complete wreck and ruin than to do what somebody else says, and even if they are telling me what the Bible said, because I don't want them to think that they're telling me what to do. Well, you better grow up, because those are the actions of an immature child. A wise man knows when to follow somebody else. And if somebody else is following God, the wise man and woman knows it's safe to follow him. And you have a Bible. You have a Bible. I know what people say today. I wouldn't care what that preacher said. Watch that kind of a blabbermouth. You're going to have to answer for yourself individually before God. You better watch out who you listen to. They're not going to have to answer for you. You are.
you see. You are. That's right. You are. And if you're not careful when they stand before God, they'll blame you for their troubles. You're going to answer to God for yourself. I'm not going to have to answer for these other preachers. That's quite a relief. And they probably feel the same way that know me, but thank God, I'm not going to have to answer for them. I'm not going to have to answer for my son-in-laws. I'm not going to have to answer for my daughters, my grandsons. I'm going to have to answer for me. But we need some folks today that stops and thinks about where they're going. Look at this. Noah, the godly father. But you know, this is a beautiful picture of what happened to Noah and his family. But I've known of fathers who've led their families to ruin and in harm's way and to death. They were Judas goats. The old Judas goat was the goat who led the other goats into the slaughterhouse. And he walked out on the other side and was free. And every time they went in, they caught them and killed them and butchered them. That's the Judas goat. You got a lot of fathers today who wear that name, who are the worst enemies their family can have because their family loves them and trusts them, and they're not worthy of it. I say it's bad. It's bad to see men that have some courage and